Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. This episode of Coach P's Perspective is brought to you by Manscaped, the world champion in men's grooming, the best in men's grooming. For me, I've always believed as an athlete and as a coach, if you look good, you feel good, you're going to perform good. So I like to turn to Manscaped products. I use their shampoo, body wash, deodorant, lip balm, cologne. You name it, they pretty much have it, right? World-class trimmers. And one of the things I love about Manscaped is this. Whenever we're looking at their grooming products, they are paraben-free, cruelty-free, dye-free. If I'm going to put it on my body, I want to make sure it's healthy and I want to make sure I smell good, right? So if you or someone you know wants to stay fresh, smell fresh, you want to walk out there with confidence, make sure that you go to manscaped.com, check out their products. And you can get a 20% discount right now using the code COACHP20. That is COACHP20. The world champions, the best in men's grooming, Manscaped. All right. Hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. I'm excited today. I have a phenomenal coach, a phenomenal human being with us, Efren Ayala, who is the head wrestling coach for University of Wisconsin at Oshkosh. And so Coach Ayala, I think we met or ran into each other at a NWCA, National Wrestling Coach Association leadership event several years ago. Got to meet Coach. Of course, we connected on social media. I've kind of followed what you guys do in the program, Coach. And I know that your athletes call you Coach E. I'm Coach P. You're Coach E. So thank you for being on, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, that's an honor. I really appreciate you having me here. Yeah.
All right. So let's do this for our listeners. Tell us about where you grew up. So, you know, where you grew up, your background, some other sports you played, and then, of course, how you got into wrestling.
Yeah. So, first off, I'm originally from Scotts Bluff, Nebraska. So, small town in far western Nebraska, grew up there, I come from two large families. Both my parents are actually from Mexico and they both moved to that area, once they got into the States. So I come from a huge family. Nobody ever wrestled. My parents have no wrestling background. My dad had met a buddy who kind of said, hey, you should try this out. And so kind of got into the sport a little bit, didn't win a match for my first 2 years, I think it was. And then finally started picking it up a little bit and ended up having a little bit of success out of there. But that's kind of where it began, is right there. I was about 5 years old learning how to wrestle. And then we moved to Grand Island, Nebraska. And that's where I really started to pick up with the sport. I met a great coach. His name's Henrik Froehling. They call him Kurt Froehling. And that guy kind of just changed my life overall. So because of him, he's the reason why I'm coaching right now. He's the reason why, you know, I wanted to go into coaching, and he's the reason why I'm still alive here. You know, I could have went so many different directions back in the day, and because of him, you know, he really changed my life around and really helped me and mentored me throughout that whole time. So he's a cool dude. But he started helping me out from middle school all the way through high school. We actually ended our high school careers together. So when I ended my senior year, that's when he retired. So we went into our last match, winning our last match together, him and I. So that was pretty, you know, pretty cool to be able to have that opportunity to be with him, because he had been coaching for 30 some years, you know. So to be able to be his last wrestler and last win is pretty honorable. And then right after that, I ended up going to University of Nebraska, Lincoln. I wrestled a year and a half out there. And then I didn't take advantage of the opportunity as I should have while I was there. You know, being a D1 athlete is, it's grueling. It's tough. It's something that it's a special thing for athletes to be able to do. And I let social life kind of get in to tie it in there and stuff, and didn't take advantage of it the way I did, but academically and stuff, I struggled too. So I ended up making a transfer, went to Minnesota State Mankato. And then from there, I ended up, having a little success there. And then I met my wife there and I ended my career there and got my degree there. So in elementary education.
All right. Yeah. We were talking off camera a little bit about Grand Island. So I've been able to go up there and do some camps the last couple of years. And it's a great town. It's amazing how in the wrestling world, it's so small. We always know some of the same people,
right?
But thinking about that, like how cool is that, man, for, you know, you to be able to go out on, you know, winning your last high school match and your coach, you know, that's his last win. As a coach, man, that's just sort of a dream. Like, I hope that that happens one day whenever I decide to hang him up, you know, and to retire from the sport. That's like and just in sports in general, not very many people go out on a win, right? I mean, you want to.
Right.
But not very many people go out on a win. So very few people win the state title or win a state championship or a national championship or go out on an odd number ride, a 3 or a 5 or whatever. And, you know, so that's really cool, man. That's special.
Yeah, it was just, I don't think I appreciated it as much then than I do now, you know. Yeah. I didn't know, like back then it was just kind of expected, like, oh, this guy is here for me. He travels to all the freestyle meets. Like he comes out to my house and hangs out with my parents and I, and he spends money to go to all these places just to help me out, where back then I didn't realize that. And now I look back, it's like, holy smokes. I got to thank that guy for everything, because he had my back the whole time, you know, and never wanted anything in return other than to just be in the corner, you know, and enjoy the ride. And so that was, once we ended, it was just, and there was a lot of pressure going into it, you know, like, holy smokes, I had lost the title a couple of years before that. And so it was just like, how am I going to do this and finish with him? And it was so cool. It was pretty cool. And to be able to, now for him to see me coaching now, and I always let him know, like, hey, I'm doing this because of you. Like, you really helped me out through the whole process. I appreciate everything you've done for me. So he's following along, and it's cool to see that I'm doing it too now. So.
Absolutely. So, you know, I know you won a state championship and you were inducted into your high school's Hall of Fame, which is awesome. You know,
it was an honor.
Yeah. And then getting to go on to wrestle in college, you know, I was just talking to a couple of buddies about it, of course, as we're watching the NCAAs, but just there's levels to this thing, right? So you could be a great high school wrestler, go on to college and perform really well, or go to college and just get mollywopped every day, you know?
Right.
And then learning how to then train yourself mentally and physically to all of a sudden start competing with those guys. Then you get really good. And then there's the guys that are just freaks, right? And then they make our Olympic team. So the Jordan Burroughs and those guys, you know. So yeah, there's levels to this thing. But you know, whenever you were wrestling, in college, at what point did you decide, or did you know that you wanted to go into coaching?
So it's crazy. So when I went into Nebraska, the first I always wanted to coach, but when I got there, mind you, so neither of my parents went to college. I was the first generation. I was the first one out of my family to go to college. So we didn't have much direction. So when I went into my first advising meeting to register for classes and stuff, I had taken an engineering class and was like, oh, this is cool. I'm going to do engineering. And when I got there, the person's like, you're not going to be a student athlete and be in mechanical engineering. They told me that right there. And so she goes, you better pick a different major. So I scrambled right there at that moment, like, what else should I do? You know? And then at that point I was like, well, I'll be a teacher and a coach. And so that's kind of what I led to right then and there. And then it just kind of stuck from there on, you know, but it was just funny. Like the lady's like, no way are you going to do engineering and that. And little do they know, I have boys who do that all the time now, you know, it's just, yeah. It was crazy. They told me no at that point. So.
Which also makes me think about sometimes, and I think this has definitely changed, but sometimes, well, we know as people who are college athletes that it's a super busy lifestyle.
Yep.
But I think sometimes people think like, oh man, there's no way, like this major is just way too difficult and too time consuming. So whenever you're trying to do both, you can't. But people get really, really good at time management. People get really good at studying. People these days, thankfully, you know, with technology, and somebody at some point had to break the barrier, right? Now we realize, like, hey, a lot of these things can be done simultaneously. We just saw the guy from North Carolina who's in law school make the national finals while he's in law school. I've never been in law school, but I'm assuming that's pretty dang difficult.
Exactly. So it's funny you say that. So, you know, you and I have been to a lot of the NWCA stuff. And so when I went to the NWCA, the Leadership Academy, Coach Mitchell, you know, Coach Mitchell. But anyway, one of the things he talks about, I never until now, if you want to be really successful in wrestling, you better show that in every other aspect, you know? And so that's where these kids, where they are successful in the classroom and on the mat, because they figured it out. They figured out how to manage their time. They figured out to have self-discipline, which you really need, you know, I mean, to be able to train, to be able to study, being able to kind of do all of that stuff. And so we see a lot of our kids right now, they're able to do that, manage that. And I give them so much props for doing that, because I wouldn't have been able to, you know, I did it. So, and I can't believe they're able to do that. And these kids are going to be so successful later on in life.
Yeah. It's exceptionally tough to do. You know, one of the things I talk to my athletes about, I'm like, sometimes like we get so busy during wrestling season, but when you think about it, and I know for me, like as you know, a husband, as a dad of four, as a, you know, a wrestling coach, that's such a busy time. But I almost feel like I'm probably more productive during wrestling season than I am almost any other time, because I have to be so disciplined. And I think when these kids look at it the same way, like, you know what, I can structure my time. I can be extremely disciplined. And it's like, you just become efficient in everything you do. And like you said, these young kids are just figuring that out today. They're 100% bought in. They're getting after it. So I personally, as a coach, I'd love to see it. Cause like you said, that is going to lead to so much success as an adult, because they're already creating these habits right now as high school kids or as college kids, college young adults. And then, so they'll carry that on to the next area of their life. When it's a lot of wisdom, you know, they say, I even actually have a chapter in my book about it. And I don't know if it's 100% true with everything, but I think it's pretty dang true. You know, the way you do anything is the way you do everything. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So I think that applies to a lot of areas. You know, you are a family man. We're talking about your daughters, you know, your daughters have started wrestling, you know, so you're coaching a high or coaching a college program at the same time as, you know, you are being there with your family, which in and of itself is not easy to do. Right. So that takes a lot of discipline to be able to do that. What are some of the things that you do? Because a lot of coaches listen to this. What are some of the things that you do in season during your busiest times to make sure that you're also kind of help keeping the family as a priority?
So, you know, I have to give a lot of credit to my wife. That lady is a beast. Okay. She's, when we first met and stuff, and after we got married and started to have kids, one of the biggest things I didn't want to take, you know, neither of us wanted our jobs to take time away from our families. And, you know, we're, if I go do this, and then even I'm a big hunter. So I spend a lot of time out in the woods and traveling the country to hunt and stuff, where I didn't want to take that time away from them. So my wife and I made a pact that we're going to do life together, you know, and anything we do, we're going to do it as a group, and her and I are a team. So the coolest thing, and she's made it happen. So she packs up the girls. This year they missed one competition because my daughter had COVID at the time. So they missed that competition. But since then, they made every single competition that we had, and we were all over the country traveling, you know, so it makes it nice. And it just makes it comforting to know that your girls are there with you and they're doing it with you. And my wife, she's just as much involved with the program as I am. You know, she helps me out. When we were at the national tournament this last weekend, she was organizing all the fan base. We brought the whole team with us. So we had anybody who didn't qualify for the Natty tournament, they all came with. And so she organized, you know, where they were sitting, what we were going to eat for that night, you know, just for the day, whatever was going on. She's so much involved where it doesn't feel like a job. And then my girls, they love it. I mean, they think of those guys as their brothers, you know? So we're such and such did this. And actually my wife and I were just talking this morning on how these girls, you know, my daughter, my littlest, she thinks she qualified for nationals this last weekend because she has that so ingrained into her head right now that no nationals, like we're going to nationals, you know, so we had had that in our head all year. Like, hey, we're getting ready for natties. We're going to do this, where now she feels like she's going to natties and that she qualified for it. So her mind is just so girl, like she just wants to get there. And so having those girls involved with it has just made it so much fun. And it's created a fan. And we talk about it as our program. One of the biggest things we tell our whole team and any recruit is you're coming into a family. Like my wife is going to be involved. Like in college, it's a little different than like high school coaching where these kids are leaving their homes. We got kids from Georgia. We got kids from New Jersey. I mean, Minnesota, California, where we feel like their parents, you know, and they need that. My wife's not afraid to kind of light them up if they need it. And neither am I, you know, we'll bring them out to the house and talk to them and explain to them, hey, this is how we approach this situation. I actually had a boy the other day. He put me on. Little did I know, he ended up putting me on a merged call with his girlfriend because he was having a situation with his girlfriend. And so I had a kind of talk with him through that whole process, but that just showed like we're in it together, you know, and my wife was there talking and we kind of helped them through that whole process. So, but I think that's, I hope I answered your question there. It's just, we like doing it together and it's made life a heck of a lot easier. Can you manage time sometimes? No. Can you balance family and wrestling? I mean, when you're so passionate and you want to be at the highest level, there's coaches who, I mean, they're doing 20 times more than I am. So it's like, holy cow, how do I do that with being able to balance my family? Well, I just bring the family along with the ride, you know? And so bless my wife. Like I said, she's traveling right behind the bus with the girls, you know, coming with, sitting there, hanging out with them, staying in the hotel rooms. And then, you know, she's enjoying every moment with me. She's texting me, hey, what happened there? Why did he do that? You need to get this kid ready for this. And so it's fun. I know that she's there with me and I know my girls are there enjoying the same experience. And so if you look at pictures from this last year, we had some epic wins. We beat at the time it was the first time we'd beaten lacrosse in like 30 years. And my girls, there's a picture of them. They're jumping in the air as I'm jumping, you know, as we won the duel. And it was super cool to be able to see that and know that they're enjoying this ride with me.
That's awesome. It's a blessing. You know, that's something that whenever people spend a lot of time at their job, no matter what it is. Right. So for us, it's
right.
Sometimes somebody's in an office or whatever. It could be so separated from their family that when mm-hmm. they come home and it's 6:30 at night and they only see their kids from 6:30 to 8:30 or 6:30 to 9, and then the next day you repeat, that makes it really difficult, right? It makes it really difficult. So being able to hear how you guys are combining, which leads me right into sort of the next question. You talked about this being a big family, right? So you literally have your family involved, have that family atmosphere with your team. What are some of the other pillars that you have in your program? So maybe some of the, I'm not talking technique, I'm talking the character things right. you teach with your team. What are some of the pillars of your program?
So it's funny, like when I first started the program, I had said, okay, the number one priority is family and faith. You know, that was the number one thing in our pillars, actually, that we wanted to focus on. Next is academics. So we have, it's a D3 program. So for those people who don't know, and some people don't, like even at our own university, they think these kids are on scholarship. These kids are solely coming to the program because they love the sport. You know, they're not getting money or getting paid to be able to do this. They're solely doing this because of that. So number one priority for us is, hey, you're a student, not an athlete, you're a student athlete. So student comes first. So one of the main things is we're focusing on these boys academically, you know, making sure that they're doing everything right. Like I said, I'm first generation and my family, we get a lot of first gens that come to our program, even in the sport of wrestling. There's a lot of first generation kids going into college. So I find that, like I said, it's very important to me. So we're making sure that's our number one priority with these kids. And then athletic performance, I feel like if we have that family feel and we're doing really well and successfully academically, then we should be able to do it in the room, you know, and we're having fun while we're doing that. But these boys are kind of pushing each other, you know, they're pushing themselves. And then the last thing is just making sure they're doing everything well in the community. So we get involved. Just yesterday, I was telling you off camera is that we hosted a youth regional tournament. At the youth regional tournament, we had our national champ and our All-American come out to the middle of the mats and they introduced them. All these young kids got to see who they were. So we try to get involved with these kids a lot, you know, and their parents so that they see them constantly. And then that brings in that big fan base. I mean, for us in D3, we had over 500 people to each duel this last year. And I mean, that's fun, you know, but it wouldn't happen if we weren't out in the community working with kids, reffing, running little camps, you know, getting kids out there and running. We have a lot of our guys coaching at youth clubs, you know, so being associated with that. And then I tell the boys too, I said, this is a networking system. You know, a lot of these youth's parents are owners of certain businesses or, you know, part of this company, and they can really network and help you, you know, as soon as you graduate, and they're willing to when they see who you are as a person, you know. So we tell the boys to make sure you use us to be able to help you network for later on in life. So that's how our pillars work. You know, but the number one main thing for us, and you can ask all my boys, is that brotherhood. You know, I mean, we are honestly and truly a family, you know, and I mean, through that whole process, these boys know that. And I always tell them, I go, hey, if your brother was suffering or, you know, you had to take a bullet for him, would you, if it was just your brother? Absolutely. Well, that's what we try to create here so that they know that these are your brothers. You got to have their back. They're going to have your back, you know.
Relationships are such a huge part of life, right? And so whenever we can make those relationships a top priority in sport, you know, you had a good relationship with your high school coach. My dad was my high school coach, but I had a great relationship with one of my college coaches, and still do to this day. Those things matter to us a lot as well, building those relationships. And I know that when I think back as an athlete, like I would run through a wall for my coaches, right? I would do anything for my coaches. And there are times, I remember like one time in college, and I'm not really a crier, but I remember like losing a really close, actually it was an overtime match, and like going to the locker room after and like shedding a tear because I lost, not because I lost, but like, I felt like I let the coach down, you know, right. And because it mattered that much to me, you know, that because he cared about me that much. And didn't let him down, you know, but in my mind, like in my eyes, like, oh man, I just let my coach down. So it's incredible having that. And then building those relationships in the community, like you were talking about, you know, I don't know the exact statistics, but off the top of my head, you know, if you're in a job interview and you mention somebody that both of you know, your chance of getting that job just jumped like 40%, right? If you guys just know the same person, and you mention them, it just jumped like 40%, you know? So there are a lot of things you can do to give yourself a leg up when it comes to getting jobs. And so as you've created relationships in that community, now jobs open up once you've graduated, or maybe you're in that same field. And then you go talk to that guy like, hey, you know, I'm going into this field. Can you give me advice? Or do you know anyone that could help me? And they probably already know somebody, you know? So that's huge for these athletes that are graduating from your program.
Right. And we hear it all the time. It's not what you know, it's who you know, you know? And I tell the boys that, and I mean, we get a lot of kids, especially at the D3 level, where they're hesitant whether they want to compete or not, you know, as soon as they get to college. And so that's one of the conversations I have with some of these kids is like, this is going to benefit you, because you get a lot of kids who say, I just want to go to school so I can focus on school and get ready for my occupation. And it's like, do you realize when you're a student athlete, you just broaden your networking system and helped your time management, everything, where you're going to have a better opportunity once you graduate because you were a student athlete. So getting these kids to understand that it's been easier, but it's also difficult, you know, since we hit COVID and stuff, kids don't want to go to college anymore. They just want to head right into the workforce, where we're trying to explain to them why you do this and, you know, the experiences that you get through this whole process.
Sometimes people do all the right things and they don't have the desired outcome, right? They don't All-American, they don't become a national champion or whatever. That happens. and, you know, and breaks your heart for them, you know. But then you have those kids that become your All-Americans and national champions, those type of things, or the state placers, state champions, you know, and it's awesome to see, right? So as a coach, when you see these kids fulfill their dreams or reach their desired outcomes, it's just a beautiful thing, as well as it hurts when they don't. But when you kind of, you know, when you look at your national champion, when you look at your All-Americans that you've coached, what are the things that in your mind or maybe some commonalities, what are some of the things that those kids are doing that are, that they're putting themselves in that position to be able to reach All-American status?
So, all right. Another thing with D3, a little different than, you know, I was a D1, D2 athlete and you, so were you. So, I mean, understanding that we had people able to push us in the off season because there was never really an off season. In Division III, the philosophy is, you know, that they want to allow you to have other opportunities. You're not just an athlete during that time, you know? So we don't get a lot of contact with the boys in the off season. So with that being said, there has to be a lot of self-discipline, you know? So we do a lot of talking about, hey, it's got to kind of be on you, you know? I'm not always going to be here to push you. If you really want this, you got to spend the time in the weight room. You got to want to do this. In the summertime, you got to find ways to get to a club and practice or to get to the weight room or find a mat to roll on, anything, you know, or travel to UWWs, you know, to our universities and stuff to compete. Like, that's got to be on you. And so that's kind of one of the commonalities that you get out of these kids is that they know what needs to be done. They know they have to do it, you know? And then with college, there's a lot of social life. We're just my national champ. He's a kid who enjoys his social life. You know, he's 25 years old. He's, you know, non-traditional student athlete. But he made a commitment this last year where he was not going to go out and socialize. You know, he had one goal and he was going to get it done. And so he spent this whole season not going out, not doing anything other than just focusing on his goal. And so it's funny, he had it on his mirror, national champ, and he just kept marking it. And every day he would just go in there and read it and mark it and mark it. So it was just, it's really cool to see that. But I think the main thing with these kids is that they're disciplined and they want it themselves. There's not someone else having to force it onto them, you know, and they're not just, because talent only takes you so far. We know that. Then it comes into, you got to be motivated. You're not afraid to get to that, you know, to break yourself and to keep getting further away. I mean, that's one thing too with these kids is they've been down in that dark place, and we call it a dark place, you know, and they've been there and we talk about it. Just like, how did you feel during that whole process? Coach, that was the toughest thing I've ever done in my life, but I freaking love it. You know, now that I look back, like, that was the best thing that's ever happened to me, is going down into that dark place and knowing that I can overcome that.
Yes.
When you get to that national championship title, like, that pressure is nothing anymore. You know, you can get that done and there's no pressure there. Like, you know how to handle that.
Yeah. You know, hearing that, I mean, it's awesome to hear. I love it because it's something we talk to our athletes about a lot, and it's the same in high school, college. And I think it's the same when you become an adult, but if you want to be great at anything, whatever it is, it's got to be your journey. Yep. And so, you know, when we tell our kids, and I got this from my dad, who was a great coach, and he used to say this, and I say the same thing, but like, you're the one who walks out on the mat. You're the one who gets your hand raised. You're the one who gets to keep the medal. This is your journey. Like, we're here to guide you. We're here to support you. We're here to be there as much as we can for you. But ultimately, man, like, you're the one who's got to put in the work. You're the one who's got to put in the extra time. And then you're the one who gets the results, right? Whether it's the win or the loss or whatever. And we're going to be here to cheer for you and be your biggest fan during the win. And we're going to be here whenever you're hurting and you need a shoulder to cry on, or somebody to smack you upside the head and tell you to suck it up and get ready for the next match, you know, whatever it is that you need to do. We're going to be there for all that. But ultimately, like you said, it's the work that you're putting in. It's the discipline that you're putting in the off season. So it's really cool to hear you talk about that at the next level as well. It's something we talk to our kids about. And it's just how it is, man. Like, you know, nobody can step in there and substitute for you, right? They can't go in and go to those dark places and then transfer that to you. You have to have experienced that yourself.
Right. Absolutely. And so, like, all right, I'll give you an example. So let's talk about my national champion this last year. He came in. So he started wrestling as a freshman in high school. Just kind of went through that whole process, had some success. He placed at the state tournament his senior year in Minnesota, which is pretty tough to do. He was in Gable Stevenson's state bracket the 1 year. But he was 5-14 as a freshman. So, and then the next year got a little better, got a little better, but there was a lot of self-discipline and motivation through that whole process. And then when COVID hit, we were at the, when he qualified for his first national championship, what, in 2020, we were at the national tournament getting warmed up. And then, you know, for the night, getting our last practice in before the morning when we were supposed to compete. And then they shut us down. So, and we all had to head home. So he got to the national tournament, didn't get a compete. And so he was bombed. The next year is supposed to be a senior year. Gets into the next year, they cancel our NCAA championships. So it's like, holy cow, this kid. And so he had to make a decision then and there. Am I going to come back for my sixth season, my last year, because he does have a COVID season, or do I just start my life and graduate college? Mm-hmm. And so he was able to, he decided that he wanted to pause his life for this opportunity. And there's never a guarantee. We've seen it this whole weekend. We saw it. There's no guarantee that you're going to be back at that national tournament, that you're going to be able to get it done at that national tournament, because there's always somebody coming and chasing, you know? So he knew, and I told him, I go, if you're going to do this, you got to want this, man. Like, this is on you. Like, you've paused your whole life. You've taken everything you wanted. He was going to move. He wanted to kind of start his own thing, and he paused everything. He's, you know, was only taking so many classes because he only had to take the classes he needed to graduate. So he's solely focused on just one goal. And when we got to the national tournament, I remember talking to his mom, and I'm a type of like a shoot for the stars kind of guy. You know, that's my mentality. I'm not going to just come here and be an average person. Like, I want you to be able to shoot for the stars. But I almost questioned myself. His mom, we were out to eat the night before the national tournament started, and she was like shaking. And I'm like, you okay? She goes, I just hope he didn't set too high of expectations for himself. And right then and there, I'm just like, holy smokes, did I tell this kid to believe in something that he possibly, and you know, I questioned myself, you know, like, is this kid going to be and I firmly believed he could be a national champ, but did I set his bar too high and he's not going to reach it? And I'm going to fail him, you know? So I really questioned myself at that moment. But then after he won, it was like, holy smokes, yes, we're shooting for the stars. You know, anybody can. And that kid got it done. And it just, he really showed our whole team that anybody can do it. You know, anybody's able to do it as long as you're willing to put forth the work. And there was times where he had to organize his own plans, you know, throughout the summer. I mean, he has to organize what he's doing for a workout. He had to organize. So there's more value when there's some skin in the game. It's a lot easier for you to be able to accomplish those goals. And I tell boys, even with college too, with tuition, and I tell the parents, don't pay for all their college. Like, make them have some skin in the game so that they know they're paying for that class that they're going to, you know? But that same thing. And he knew that all the work that he did and organized to get to that moment. And so when we got to that national championship finals and he got on that stage, he knew he had to get it done.
That's awesome, man. That's amazing to hear. You know, especially like for those people who maybe don't experience success right away. I mean, came in, he's 5-14, he kept grinding, and then becomes a national champion. You know, so there's people who, first off, man, I respect somebody who's able to do that so much. Cause think about how many people quit college wrestling. It's a huge number. And cause it's tough, right? And there's lots of things that happen, the injuries, or you just want to move on with your life or whatever. There's lots of things, but
right.
Somebody to say like, hey, no, I'm just going to keep getting better and better and better. And then all of a sudden to see them reach that desired outcome, like what a beautiful thing. And I'm the same way, man, like a shoot for the stars kind of guy. Why not? Like, if we're going to do this, man, let's do it big and let's get after it and then give ourselves the best opportunity to get there. So I love to hear that and to hear those success stories, you know, real fast, just for the nerdy wrestling side of me. And those who are our coaches will like this too. Maybe some of the business people that are listening are like, it's the wrestling side, but practice organization during the season. Like, how many days a week do you guys lift in season? Kind of give me your practice structures a little bit.
For sure. So we actually kind of change, and we're able to change it a little bit in college compared to like what you guys are able to do. So we've started to change in. You and I talked about this. So we're kind of in the same situation. Our room isn't we have 45 guys on our team. Our room fits about 30. Okay. So we have to kind of get a little creative as far as how we're doing live, when we're doing practices. So I've kind of changed things up, and we always used to train at 3:30 all the time. You know, that's always just like a basic practice, 3:30. Well, when are we wrestling at the national tournament? What's our qualifier? What time are we wrestling at? You know, and we're getting up 7 a.m. We have weigh-ins, 9 a.m. we're wrestling. It's like, why wouldn't we get these boys firing, you know, at that time? And for the longest time, I was having a struggle getting these boys to, you know, tournament time. Their sleep schedules were completely off. Yeah. So throughout the whole season, we've really changed their sleep schedules by forcefully having them to where twice a week they're practicing at 7 a.m. And we've had to change their class schedules a little bit, but we're able to do that stuff. And then we go in the afternoon, 4 p.m., you know, and then we're also doing some one-on-ones throughout the day with guys, because, you know, we are D3. There's a lot of kids who can't make a certain practice. So then I'm able to go work with smaller groups throughout the day and have them training too. But we're lifting 2 to 3 times a week. I do a lot of sports related type of strength and conditioning. You and I know you're a strength and conditioning coach. So am I. And so we got these boys going at it, you know, 2 to 3 times a week. In the off season, they're 4 times a week. And then as far as practice goes, we don't want to spend a lot of time, you know, at our level, a lot of boys, we want to perfect what they're good at already. We're not going to be able to change them, you know, change their style. Everybody has, they're coming from different programs, different styles and stuff. So what we're trying to do is fine tune what they're currently good at and then making them better as far as that goes. So our practices, we don't go any longer than an hour and a half, hour, 15 minutes in a practice, you know, but we're doing that. And then we're doing our strength conditioning maybe in the morning. So we might flip flop. So one morning we'll lift at 7 in the morning and then we'll wrestle at 3:30 or vice versa, you know, and then every Wednesday, and I actually got this from Coach Millboy. You remember Jim Miller, you know, so, you know, Coach Millboy. So anyway, he told me this and I'm like, you're full of it. You know, I go, you're one of the best coaches in the whole white world. You know, you've had all these national titles. And he told me, he goes, every Wednesday we have open mat. And I'm like, really? Yep. We just open the mat. The boys do what they want. They've organized their own practices. And so I kind of took that into our program, and it's the best. It's crazy. These boys are so motivated. They go into that open mat and they show me. So I make them show me a plan like, hey, what are you going to work on today? How are you going to do this? You have to be in here for at least an hour, training something. And then I get to work with these boys individually with a group, like, okay, I need you to focus on this today. You know, your low singles are terrible, or you're not cutting this corner correctly. Let's focus strictly on that. And then this other group is like, hey, we got to work on getting out of bottom, you know, or getting out of legs, where I can kind of break it up a lot. And then you see what they're doing and how they're pushing themselves super hard. They don't think they actually are, you know?
I'm a huge fan of that. So even with our high school kids, you know, we usually have at least one day a week, sometimes twice, but usually one day a week where I used to do like 10 minutes of open room time. Right. So in the midst of practice somewhere, like, hey, we got 10 minutes open room, work on what you need to work on. The coaches were coming around. We're going to tell you some things specifically you need to work on. Maybe we've already told them ahead of time. But okay. Honestly, last couple of seasons, a lot of those have moved to like 20 minutes because the kids, the first couple of times they do it, they're so used to like rigid instruction that they're just kind of like, oh, what do we do? And but now it's like they've gotten used to it, right? And they're good at it. And so there's a group over here working on scrambling. Then there's a group over here working on getting out of legs, a group over here working on turns, you know, and they really, like I said, sometimes it's like, hey, we'll just let them keep going. Cause everybody in the room right now is really working on the things they need to work on, you know? So they probably closer to 20 minutes, and it's been cool to see them take hold of that and to take personal responsibility and to work on the things that they need to do to get better at their system and their game, which is really cool. So, but I love hearing the way you guys have your practice structured. Makes so much sense having some morning practices. I've thought about that for years. I'm like, man, like we have to, I wish high school competitions were moved to later in the day because yeah. I can't get these kids out of school. I can't change their, you know, they're in school all day long. So they're in high school.
Right.
But same thing though, we're weighing in at 7 a.m. We're wrestling at 9, but these kids aren't used to practicing every day until 3. So it doesn't match the schedule at all that their bodies are used to. You just do the best you can with it, but you know, we only have a couple weekends a season that are open, but sometimes like, hey, we're coming in on Saturday. It's open weekend, but we're going to come in, just get an hour in real quick, just to keep your body used to this weekend schedule type thing. And anyway,
there you go.
It's really cool to be able to hear that though, man, and hear how you guys are doing it. And I love that about college wrestling. You know, when I was coming through, it was just like, yeah, 3 o'clock practice, no matter what.
But right.
There's so much individualization now. There's so many coaches coming in, working with small groups or working with individuals throughout the day. And people got to realize that. Like, I remember hearing Rob Cole when he was at Cornell talking about, you know, he came in and he was like doing 5:30 a.m. practices, and, you know, some of the kids were dragging and not working hard, and he was getting on to them and getting mad. And one of the coaches was like, you know, and he said, some of the kids were like, coach, like I was up all night studying, and he's like thinking they're partying or something. And I was just like, no, coach, like seriously, this is an Ivy League school. Like, like they really are studying until 5 a.m. Then you're making their practice at 5:30. And he was like, oh, like I didn't realize that, because he didn't go to an Ivy League school, you know. And anyways, he had to adjust the way he practiced, you know, and had to really be creative. But I think that's a big part of coaching, right? It's like still you don't have to like invent the wheel, but man, you got to like steal great things that you've heard from great coaches and utilize it. And then you got to be creative sometimes and make it work for your own program or your own athletes in the way that the way they need to be trained, not just doing the way that you are trained, but training them the way they need to be trained. And I think that's getting better because of it.
Yeah, no, for sure. One thing too, I'll tell you now that we're kind of talking about that is unpredictable stuff, you know? So a lot of times, you know, when you get out of your comfort zone, you just kind of scramble. And I see these boys scrambling. Like, I'll throw it right in. We have like a group chat and where I send all the stuff. And so I'll say, hey, it'll be maybe like noon. And I'm like, hey, bring your running shoes today. And they're like, what? And everybody's like questioning, like, no. I had this completely planned. And so as soon as they get to practice, then it's like, boom. All right, we're going out for a run, boys. Or, hey, we're going, I take the boys, we'll go jump out in the, we'll run and then jump in the lake and then come back, you know? And it's just doing something completely throwing them off, because there's going to be times where they're going to be thrown off, you know, as far as, you know, competition and stuff, even in life, you know, I mean, there's nothing that's, you can't expect anything, especially when you have kids. When you have kids, there's always something that's going to throw you off, and you have to be ready for it, you know, and be firing and just make an adjustment at that moment. And that's how a wrestling match is too. You might have this whole plan situated where I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then the kid takes you down, puts you on your back. You're down by six. It's like, okay, now what do I do? You can't just scramble. You got to be able to make those adjustments and start chipping away at them. And so we do some crazy things as far as our program goes, where it's just not even on the mat. Like, hey, we're going to go on a 10-mile run right now, and you're going to do it, you know? And after they're done, they're like, holy cow, coach. Like, I was not mentally ready for that. Now I am. And, you know, so it's just, it's funny. Sometimes we always take a trip, you know, a Christmas trip, and nobody will know. And I'll say, all right, we're pulling over right here. We pull over at like a state park or something. I go, okay, get out. Let's start running. And I don't give them time. Some of them are in their flip flops. Some of them are in their nice Vans or whatever they're wearing. And we start running, you know? And so it's just like, oh, I got to get ready to go. This is my workout, you know? So it's just, we'll do some goofy things like that to get them going. But those are memories. Hey, coach, you remember that time where you simply just, we were in the middle of New Mexico and you made us start running up the mountain? You know, it's just like, yeah, we just got to have some fun with it, man.
Yeah.
You always got to be ready.
Absolutely. No, I think that's a great thing to do. Like you said, you know, you have kids come back. I'll have kids that were state champions come back, and they never once talk about winning a state championship. They're talking about that crazy thing we did at practice. They're talking about, you know, the suburban rides. So, you know, someplace, and there's always that one like really funny kid in the car, you know, that's always cracking jokes, and it's the relationship things. They remember those. But you're right on though. Yes. Man, whenever you, so this is so funny, because one of my college coaches, I didn't know this till a couple years later, but he always did this on purpose. So I remember 2 years in a row, we come in, and the second year, like, I was like, wait a minute, this happened last year, but it's at a time in the season, usually mid-January, when guys are getting beat up and they're getting tired and things like that. And we come in, and both times I felt like we were having a pretty good practice, but he did this on purpose. He stopped us right in the middle of practice. And was like, if you guys don't want to work hard today, if you don't want to get after it, then get out of here. Like, actually, you know what? Leave. Nobody wants to go hard today. And he would like literally kick us out of practice. And like, and he would just walk out of the room, and we're all like looking at each other, and we're like, should we keep going? Like, should we just, like, now we're all like upset. Like, oh man, we don't even know what we did. Like, coach is all mad. And he would come back in like, no, I'm serious. You guys got to get out. And he would make us leave. But he said he would do it on purpose. Then the next day, you better believe, like, we came in. I don't care if you had an injury or whatever, like, you were getting after it, right? You refocused when you came in that next day. But he would just throw us off, but he would do it on purpose. So it's funny that little things the coaches have planned out that it's spontaneous, but we already kind of know, you know what I'm saying? Like, we know that we're going to throw something spontaneous in there, and the kids have no idea, but it's great for them because that's life. That's 100% life.
Absolutely. So I actually did that. I do that too, kind of situation. So I'm a super nice guy. The boys know I'm way back. I can joke around. So sometimes I have to lay down the hammer. And so each year, and I did it, and one of the boys knows it, the nicest kid you'll ever meet, never screws up, nothing like that. What was it last year? I said, get out. He had gotten taken down. I go, get out of the room. Everybody's looking like, why are you kicking him out? And then they knew, you know, like, okay, Coach E has a, you know, he can get mad, you know? And so you got to be able to set that tone sometimes, you know, for the kids. But I remember he looked at me like, holy cow, you're kicking me out of the room. And it's like, how are you going to respond to that? You know, are you actually going to leave the room and go home, or are you going to get a workout out in the hallway because I won't let you back into the room? Like, what are you going to do now that I did that to you? You know? And so it's funny to see how they approach that, but yeah, little do they know we had this plan completely ahead of time. So
yeah, that is great. You know, if anybody follows you on social media, they can look on, they can see, you know, you guys, your ranch and horses and all those type of things. What are, you know, everything's not all serious wrestling all the time. What are some of your hobbies and things that you love doing?
So we moved to Wisconsin. We live on my family or on my wife's, her great grandpa bought this property. Then it turned into her parents live on the other end. So we actually built a house on the property, and we have great grandpa on one end, and he's 88 years old and he functions just as good as I do. And then we have her parents who live on the other end of the property. And so back in the day, it used to be a big dairy farm. They used to have horses and everything. And then it turned into like nothing. It was just a lot of land, you know? And so when we moved here, we started to turn this into, we're like, well, let's bring it back to life, you know, what it used to be. And so now we turn it into a ranch. So I've always wanted, my grandparents had a farm. And so I always wanted horses of my own. I didn't know horses really well. So we're like, you know what, let's do it. You know, it was during the COVID time. We're like, let's get some horses. Our girls love riding horses. And so we did it, and we wanted more work for the girls, you know, so they got a lot of chores for them. And actually they're right now currently outside doing chores. So it's Sunday. So they know Sunday is a chore day. So they spend all day outside, you know, cleaning horse poop, you know, working in the barn, you know, getting stuff cleaned up and stuff. So we like to spend a lot of time outside. We're a big traveling family, so we don't like to be in a city or anything like that. We like to check out and get in the middle of nowhere. So we spend most of our time camping. We have like a little teardrop camper that fits. It's got like a queen bed in it and a little kitchen. And we take that all over the country. We like hitting national parks. We like, and I'm a big hunter. I brought to some of our boys on the team property. We show them how to, we have a kid from New Jersey. He didn't even know where his meat came from or how that worked, the whole processing, but he helped us process a deer and stuff. And he was just blown away, like, holy cow, this is how it's done, you know? And so being able to give them that experience. So we try doing that with a lot of our boys, you know, just giving them something different than what they're used to. We get a lot of boys from the inner city of Chicago, and they come out here to the ranch and they're like, holy cow, you know, we do some camping out here. I make them camp out at our property, pitch a tent and stuff for the night in October, and it's colder than cold, and they get to toughen it out and see what it's all about. So
grew up in Oklahoma, of course, live in Kansas, but I definitely love spending time in the country and getting to do those things. And tell you what, man, it's working on a farm, working on a ranch, it is hard work. So your daughter,
tell me about it. They're throwing it. You always hear about these wrestlers who throw hay bales, you know, those tough farm boys. They're so tough. And now I see why, like throwing those, you know, hay bales around, and I got my girls, we make them throw hay bales. They got to pick up a hay bale. They got to go feed the horses and stuff. We got four horses and we got some goats and some chickens. We call it the loony farm, you know? And so these girls are out there putting in the work. They get up before school, they got to go feed them, you know, do the chores. And at night they're doing chores, you know, making sure the animals are all fed, picking hooves. Making sure you got to exercise these horses. So they're out there riding. They know, both know how to throw up a saddle and tack up a horse faster than I can now, you know, but, it's just something that you can't really teach, you know, where it's just hard work. And we want these girls to be able to put in the work and know that they can't rely just on social media or, you know, a screen nowadays. We want them to be outside putting in some work and having fun out there and enjoying what God gave us, you know, as far as land and stuff. So
that's awesome, man. That's amazing. And then getting to be with your wife's family out there too. So, all right. Yeah. I believe that, you know, God gives everybody gifts and abilities, and it's our responsibility to use those the best we can and to continue to develop those. But if you could pick like one or two things, man, what would you say is like your genius, right? Everybody has a different kind of genius. Like, what is your genius?
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I have a genius at all, but one thing I would say, I think I do well at is just getting to know a person and getting to believe in them, you know. Talking about my national champ, we had another kid who qualified for the national tournament too this year, made the blood round. He was a state qualifier the year before, you know, so he barely qualified at the state tournament. And then he's at the national tournament getting ready to almost become an All-American. But we talked about it and he goes, "Coach, you believed in me." You know, he goes, "There's never been anybody who's solely just like, believe that I can do it. Once you believed in me, I couldn't let you down," you know? And so I think that's one thing. If I had a genius, it would be just being able to relate with these kids and letting them know that they can do it. They can get it done and that I got their back, and they can do anything that they want to, and they can shoot for the stars. And there's people there that are going to back them. If they do, say they do fail, you know, it's okay. We got your back, man.
That's a great genius to have. They're absolutely great genius. So, all right, last question. You can expound upon this as much as you want.
Yeah.
And you can just pick one or all three. Tell me about a hero, a hardship, or a highlight in your life. Hero, hardship, highlight.
Hero, I'm going to give that to my wife. My wife, many years ago when I was heading down a bad road, I was an elementary teacher and high school coach. When I went into that thinking I was going to be a coach, little did I know you actually have to teach. Like, coaching is a very minimal thing back then, you know, it's like, holy smokes. So I just wanted to coach wrestling, you know, that's one of the biggest things. And so she believed in me and said, "Hey, you're going to go coach at the college level." I was getting paid near nothing, you know, to be an assistant coach. And then I became a head coach, and it was a part-time position, and our budget was as minimal as they could be. But she looked at me and she said, "Hey, you're going to go all in. You're going to treat this as if it's a full-time job, and you're going to get it done." And because of her, I was able to get it done. She had my back the whole time. She helped guide me. She helped me with recruiting. She watched the girls. She let me have late nights calling kids. I'm traveling all over the place, meeting with kids and stuff. And she'll come with on the road just so she knows I'm not by myself. So that woman has helped guide me in so many ways. It's not even funny. So I got to give a lot of respect to my wife. You know, she's absolutely amazing. And then my coach too, you know, my high school coach, that guy believed in me. You know, we talk about the believing part. He really believed in me and who I was about. And because of him, now I'm coaching. So I got to give a lot of respect to that guy as well. You know, hardship in life. I think I lost my sister to suicide. You know, it would have been 8 years ago. I struggled during that time. I think that was a super difficult time in my life and for my family's life. But when she had committed suicide, she attempted to, and so she was in the hospital for a while, and my parents looked at me. So she was never going to be the same again. She was going to be on a breathing tube, never be able to see or talk or anything like that. And so they looked at me for the guidance to be like, "Hey, do we pull the plug? Do we not? You know, what do? We only have a certain amount of time." And I don't think anybody ever prepares you for something like that. And so I had to kind of be there for my parents, and I'm the oldest in the family, where I had to make that decision. And thank God, I thank the man upstairs so much. The next day we didn't have to make that decision. It was, she had passed, but it was just something super, super difficult. And so that hardship, I think, now helps me to guide our boys, you know, to make sure that I'm not just here for their wins or just here for wrestling. You know, we're here for all of our boys, and knowing that all of their struggles are super important, even if we think it's minimal in their life, at their time in their place right now, probably is the biggest struggle. Them breaking up with a girlfriend, even though it's not going to be that super difficult later on in life, and you're going to look at yourself and laugh, right now it's the most difficult time, and you got to be there to support them for that. But that hardship, you know, has really helped me, you know, have a different perspective on life and, you know, certain situations and what people are dealing with. And right now we're seeing a lot of mental, you know, struggles people are having currently. So just being there for them and letting them know that someone's there to support them and, you know, give them a hug or shoulder cry on or someone to talk to, and that you're actually there in the moment with them. And a highlight, I think one of the biggest highlights is this last weekend. You know, I mean, it just, this past weekend, you know, we were 10th in the country. I had a lot of goals. Like I said, our program was about to be dropped. And we were, when I first got here, I think we were 1-10 as a dual team. This last year, we were 12-2. We made the top 10 in the country. We had an All-American, a national champ. So it's just seeing the program grow. We're getting a full-time assistant coach now. I was part-time when I first started this program. And now that we're going to have a full-time head coach, a full-time assistant coach, our operating budget's the highest it's ever been. So just very thankful for that. And I think that's one of the biggest highlights, is that our program's growing, you know, and we're getting to a place where we really want to be.
That's awesome, man. That's amazing. I mean, it's a big turnaround, and then getting that support like that, getting that support from the university, getting that support from alumni. I mean, as you just continue to grow, all those things grow, you know, and success begets success, and it be, you know, and people get excited about it. You've built that culture, right? So when you build that culture, man, that allows the program just to keep growing, and man, it gets people involved and it's attractive. I mean, I love being a part of a team that has a great culture, being part of a school, being part of anything, right? That has a great culture. People care about each other. It's amazing. When that happens, then lots of good things happen. There's still a lot of struggles because it's life, but a lot of good things happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. For sure, man.
Excellent. Well, Coach E, man, thank you so much for being on. It's a blessing. I'm glad I get to know you and got to meet you years ago. And
likewise.
Yeah. It's an honor having you on here, man. And I hope that you guys just keep absolutely crushing it, you know, with your program, because you are positively impacting a lot of lives.
I appreciate you. It's been an honor. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. So, all right, everybody, listen. It's been another episode of Coach P's Perspective. May God bless you, smile upon you, and give you peace. Till next time, we're out. Hey, before you go, I'd like to encourage you to go over to fluxfootwear.com. Flux Footwear. The Flux Adapt is one of my favorite shoes. These things are an everyday wear. You can also wear them in fitness. Very light, stylish, unique. I'm a pretty minimalist shoe kind of guy, and Flux Footwear basically checks off every single box I'm looking for. So go check them out. And if you use the code COACHP10, that is COACHP10, you'll get yourself a 10% discount on the Flux Adapt shoe at fluxfootwear.com.
Podcast complete, now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins, tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step, CSL rep, pop, lock and rock. Coach P, who never stops.